chapter of the
book of Revelation.
Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to read but one verse tonight in the 17th chapter of Revelation, verse number 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, abominations of the earth. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you for your wonderful goodness and kindness and grace. And Lord, we sure need your power, your wisdom tonight. We ask you, Father, to undertake, Lord, in each one of these requests that's been made. And we ask you, Lord, tonight to help this preacher, empower him as he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight, but I think it'll be helpful. Last week, I shared with you about this mother of harlots. And I shared with you that I felt like, and I don't mean I just feel like it, I believe from the bottom of my heart, that the Catholic Church is going to be the leadership of the false religion. Now, I've said this to you, and tonight what I want to do is prove it to you. There was a man by the name of Rick Jones who 5 years ago, 1995, he wrote a book called The Catholic Church. He was a Catholic. He grew up a Catholic in a Catholic home. He did all the things that Catholics were supposed to do. He married a lady who also was a Catholic. She grew up in a Catholic home, went to Catholic schools, did all the things that a Catholic was supposed to do. And yet they never ever had any peace in their hearts about salvation. Later on, they come to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Rick Jones made a determination that he was going to take the Catholic Catechism, which is, let me try to explain this, it is the rules, the regulations, the beliefs of the Catholic Church. Now, what I'm saying to you is, the new catechism was written in 1994. There had not been one written for 400 years. Okay? Now, this was written in 1994, and it gives in it 803 pages. It gives in it the beliefs of the Catholic Church. And I believe, and what he's done is taken those, and I'm going to share with them many of those, some of those, with you tonight. He took 37 doctrines of the Catholic Church and proved by the Bible that every single one of them was contrary to the Word of God. Now, what I want you to understand is this. I've told you last week, I do not want you to treat a Catholic unkind. I don't think you would, and I don't have any intentions of ever doing that. But I want you to understand that you need to realize that the Catholics you meet more than likely are not saved. Now, you better get a hold of that because of the belief that they believe. Most of them, truthfully, do not know what they believe. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do we send missionaries to Mexico, as many as we can get, if the Catholic faith is true? Why are we sending Luke Townsley to, and I say we, we're helping sending, God sending him, to the Dominion Republic, since 95% of it is Catholic, why are we sending down there? Waste of time, if they're saved. True? Be a waste of time, waste of money. See, the thing is, what you've got to understand, what you probably do not know, and that's okay, because a lot of it I didn't know either till I read this man's book. And listen to what he done. He does not just give thoughts and ideas of what the Catholic believe. He takes it from their own catechism, their own beliefs, what they say they believe. I mean, he quotes it right out of their catechism book. And says, here's what they say. And then here's what the Bible says. So what I want to do is share some of those with you tonight. And when you get, and I want you to listen. I don't want you to turn me off and say, oh, well, Brother Ross is on a rampage again about Catholic and all this. I want you to listen. And I want you to get a hold of it, because when you, if you will listen, you'll find out, you'll realize, folks, that they are absolutely unscriptural. And that's what it all comes down to. What does the Bible say? Amen? So what we're going to do is share some of those things with you. This catechism is absolutely the official source of the Roman Catholic doctrine. It's what the Pope believes and backs. It's what the cardinals and the bishops and the priests believe and back. That's what they go by. The most of the individual Catholics, and let me say this kindly, don't have the slightest idea what they believe. Not the slightest idea. And listen, that's dangerous, because there's many Baptists that don't know what they believe. Many, many Baptists don't know what they believe. They get up and they'll believe what the preacher says. And it's good for you to listen to the preacher, but you ought to search the Scriptures. That's what they did in Thessalonica. Search the Scriptures daily to see if those things were true. So I'm saying to you that it's good that you listen to your preacher, and I hope you do listen to me. I hope you have confidence that I'm teaching you the Word of God. But I want you to believe it because it's true. It's the Bible. That's why I want you to believe it. And the most Catholic do not. They only do whatever they're told to believe. They just believe it. They just do it. So what I'm going to do, we're going to start off here, and you might remember, if you'll notice in this world that we live in, regularly Catholic are appearing on television shows or all kinds of places with Protestant preachers, as though they're on the, and when I say they're on the same level, in other words, they believe the same. There's unity between them. You'll hear Catholic programs on Christian stations. You'll go into a bookstore and you find Catholic material right alongside of Bible material, as though it's all right. And you know what? More than likely, most of us, if we don't be careful, we'll think it's all right. It's, you know, nothing wrong with it. It's all right. You know, they have a right to their, well, they have a right to their belief, I'll guarantee you that, but their belief is absolutely unscriptural. And what I want to do is give you some things. First of all, we're going to deal with who is the final authority. If I would ask you, who is the final authority today in your belief, would you say this preacher? Thank you, Brother Dave. That is the final authority. The Bible, the Word of God, is the final authority. Do you believe that? I mean, really, in your heart?
Yes.
Well, listen to what the Catechism, and what I'm going to do is read you exactly what it says. He has quoted it here, what it says in their book. And notice also this. When they mention church in their Catechism, they mean Catholic Church. They do not mean Baptist or any other kind. So a lot of times they'll just say church. And here's what he says. It is clear, therefore, that in the supremely wise arrangements of God, sacred tradition, listen to this, sacred scripture, and the magisterium, what that is the ability of the Pope and the bishops, the priest, to give the correct interpretation of the Bible. They say they are the ones and only ones can give correct interpretation. But they say that all three of these are so connected and associated that one of them cannot stand without the other. Now, are you hearing what they said? They are saying the Bible cannot stand alone. It takes the tradition of the church and their interpretation of the Bible. It says, working together, each in his own way, under the action of the one Holy Spirit, they all contribute effectively to the salvation of souls. Now, I hope you're listening to what I'm saying. That is what their belief is. The Bible is not the final authority with a Catholic, the Catholic system. Another thing they say is this: Sacred Scripture is the speech of God, as it is put down in writing under the breath of the Holy Spirit and holy tradition. A task of giving an authentic interpretation of the Word of God, whether it is written form or in the form of tradition, has been entrusted to the living, teaching office of the church alone. Now, what did I say the church was? Baptist? Oh, no, no, no. To the Catholic Church alone. Alone. This means that the task of interpretation has been entrusted to the bishops in communion with the successor of Peter, the Bishop of Rome. For of course, all that has been said about the manner of interpreting Scripture, this is still quoting from them, is ultimately subject to the judgment of the church, which exercises the divinely conferred commission and ministry of watching over and interpreting the Word of God. And what they're saying is only the Catholic Church can interpret the Word of God. Here's what the Bible says. The word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible tells us back in the book of Revelation, we'll get to that at a later date, but it absolutely tells us not to add anything to the Word of God or to distract anything from it. And that even means the Pope. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And here's what he says, avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. The Bible says in Galatians, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men. The Bible says, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? You remember three things? The Holy Scriptures, Holy Tradition, and the ability to give perfect interpretation is what they say. All of it comes together, and that's how they get the truth. Okay? How about salvation? Where does it come from? Here's what the Catechism says. For it is through Christ's Catholic Church alone, which is the universal help toward salvation, that the fullness of the means of salvation can be obtained. Now, folks, listen to me. Do you believe that? That's what they're teaching. All salvation comes from Christ the head through the church. Remember, Catholic Church, which is his body, basing itself on Scripture and tradition. The council teaches that the church, a pilgrim now on earth, is necessary for salvation. Hence, they could not be saved who know that the Catholic Church, listen to this, know that the Catholic Church was founded as necessary by God through Christ, would refuse either to enter it or to remain in it. If they fail to remain in it once they're in it, or they would fail to re-enter into it, cannot have salvation. It is the church that the fullness of the means of salvation has been deposited. It is in her that by the grace of God we acquire holiness. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Not the church. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that heareth my words and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life." The Bible says also, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Not who believes in the church, who belongs to the church, not who belongs to the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has no power over salvation, cannot give you salvation. No more than the Baptist Church can. Now, how about salvation through works, good works? Here's what the church says. Here's what their catechism says. He not only gives it, quotes it, but he gives the page and the number of the item in each one of these, where it's found. "Even though incorporated into the church, one who does not, however, persevere in charity is not saved." You see, that's how they control. Did you know that's how the Pentecostals control? They control by getting them to believe that you can lose your salvation. So you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and you've got to stay right there, and boy, you better do this right and that right, or you're going to lose your salvation. So there's a fear thing there. That's what the Catholic Church does. But the Bible tells us different. The Bible tells us it's by grace you're saved through faith. That not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what the Bible says. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us." I believe that the Bible is more important than the Catholic Church. See, what they're doing is everything that they are saying here is contrary to the Bible, the Word of God. Now, there's a reason for that, as we'll find out, because they think they're the final authority. The Pope says he is the final authority. So his interpretation of the Word of God is more important than what the Bible says. He is the final authority. That's dangerous. The church forgives sin. Did you know that? The Catholic Church in their catechism say they are the forgiver of sins. Now listen to what it says. "There is no offense, however serious, that the church cannot forgive." This is what it says. "By Christ's will, the church possesses the power to forgive the sins of the baptized. The church, who through the bishop and his priest forgives sin in the name of Jesus Christ." Isn't it funny? Because a Pharisee a long time ago blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Who is this man? Why does he speak thus? Only God can forgive sins." He was right. What he didn't understand was the one he was talking to was God. Amen. The Bible says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Who forgive you? Oh, the Pope. The church. No. God forgives sin. Here's another quote from their catechism. Indeed, bishops and priests, by virtue of the sacrament of holy order, have the power to forgive all sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. The church must be able to forgive all penitents their offenses, even if they should sin until the last moment of their lives. The church can come along and forgive them. Not God, the church. Isn't it funny when David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin? David also said, look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all of my sins. They believe that they are the only and true church. I just hope you're getting this. I want you to listen. I hope you're getting it, because you'll face a Catholic different if you get this. No, you won't be unkind to them, but you'll understand they don't believe like we believe. Okay? Another quote from their catechism. This is the sole church of Christ, which is the creed we profess to be one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. In fact, there's another quote, in this one and only church of God, it says. First, the church is Catholic because Christ is present in her. Listen to this. Where there is Jesus Christ, there is the Catholic Church. Bible says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. And Jesus answered and said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's where they get a lot of their doctrine. They say that they are the rock that was built upon. Peter was the rock. And that's what they believe. But listen to what the Scripture says. Over in 1 Corinthians, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. In Ephesians, says they are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is the head of the corner. Speaking of Jesus. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. Church was not built upon the Peter. It was built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Catholic Church says it was built upon Peter. He was the first pope. I might make mention a married pope. Had a mother-in-law, didn't he, Brother Brewer? If he had a mother-in-law, it makes sense he was married. Amen. Who would have a mother-in-law? Just for the fun of having a mother-in-law. So we know Peter was married. I guess he was the only one that was. The rest of the popes decided not to get married. But you know what? Oh, how foolish. Thinking that Peter was a rock. The rock. No, Jesus Christ is the rock. Okay. Here's what he says. Who is the head of the church? Now this is what they say out of their catechism. The sole church of Christ is that which our Savior, after his resurrection, entrusted to Peter's pastoral care, commissioning him and other apostles to extend and rule it. This church, Catholic, constituted and organized as a society in the present world, subsists in the Catholic Church, which is governed by the successors of Peter and by the bishops in communion with him. Now that's who says leads the church. Who? Peter's successors. That's what they say. That's what they believe. Now the Bible says that he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church. Amen. Contrary to the Bible, the Word of God, their doctrine is absolutely contrary. How about, does baptism save? Did you get saved when you went into the baptistry? Well, here's what the church says. Catholic Church. The Lord, now listen to what he says. The Lord himself affirms that baptism is necessary for salvation. That's what their catechism says. It also says the church does not know of any other means other than baptism that assures entry into eternal bliss. Through baptism, we are freed from sin and reborn as sons of God. We become members of Christ and are incorporated into the church, Catholic Church. Baptism forgives sin. But the Bible said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what the Bible says. Listen to what their catechism says. Baptism not only purifies from all sin, but also makes a new creature, an adopted son of God, who has become a partaker of the divine nature, member of Christ, and co-heir with him, and a temple of the Holy Spirit through baptism. By baptism, all sins are forgiven. Original sin and all personal sins, as well as all punishment for sin through baptism. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Church, the priest, the pope, the bishops have no ability to forgive sins. For Christ, it's interesting, Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Isn't it interesting that here we've got Paul out here saying, you know what? I mean, he wasn't talking it down against baptism. He was just saying, that's not what I was sent for. I was just sent out here to preach the gospel, because gospel is what saves you. It was all right if people got baptized, and they did get baptized. But he said he was thankful he didn't baptize any of them, except he named a couple. But the Pope says you cannot be saved unless you're baptized into the Catholic Church. He also says by his power, he is present in the sacraments, so that when anybody baptizes, listen to this, it is really Christ himself who is baptizing. And he says again, gives page number and all, baptism indeed is the seal of eternal life. Can you refute that? Who is the seal of eternal life? No. What does seal? Holy Spirit. See, they say baptism is the seal of eternal life. No, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is a seal of eternal life. The Pope says he is the vicar of Christ. I looked in the dictionary and it says, in the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope regarded as earthly representative of Christ in full. Vicar of Jesus Christ. In other words, one that stands in his place on this earth. And that's what the Pope claims to do. Stands in the place of Jesus Christ. Now here's also what it says. For the Roman Pontiff, by reason of his office as Vicar of Christ and as pastor of the entire church, has full, supreme, and universal power over the whole church. A power which he can always exercise unhindered. The Roman Pontiff, as supreme pastor and teacher of all of the faithful. Let me ask you a question. Who does the Bible say teaches us? You know, that's why when you sit out here and you hear teachings from the Word of God, if you'll just listen to that sweet Holy Spirit, he'll say, that's right. That's right. Or he'd say, that's wrong. That's not right. You stay close to the Lord and you won't get off your doctrine. Holy Spirit won't let you. Holy Spirit is the teacher, not the Pope. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Is the Pope the head of the church? Catechism claims that the Pope enjoys by divine institution supreme, full, immediate, and universal power in the care of souls. Folks, you see, what we don't understand is he thinks he's over us too. say the Catholic Church, but he thinks he's over everybody. I mean, he's over the Catholic Church, but he thinks he's over everybody. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the... Isn't that interesting? The Pope isn't the head of the church. Amen? Here's another good one. Listen to this. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Let me give you another one. The Pope says he's infallible. In order to preserve the church in the purity of the faith handed on by the apostles, Christ, who is truth, willed to confer on her a share in his own infallibility. By a supernatural sense of faith, the people of God, under the guidance of the church's living magisterium, once again, unfailingly adheres to this faith. The Roman pontiff, enjoying this infallibility in virtue of his office, when as supreme pastor and teacher of all the faithful, infallible, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, including the Pope. The pastoral duty, another statement, is aimed at seeing to it that the people of God abide in the truth that liberates. To fulfill this service, Christ endowed the church's shepherds with the charisma of infallibility in matters of faith and morals. Infallibility. That's why when Pope speaks, and that's why when the cardinals speak, they have got their word from the Pope, and it's passed on down. And when the priests speak, they consider it as God speaking. God speaking, because he has spoken. One more. Infant baptism. Here's what they say in their catechism. Born with a fallen human nature and tainted by original sin, children also have need of the new birth in baptism to be freed from the power of darkness and brought into the realm of the freedom of the children of God, to which all men are called. The sheer gratuitousness of the grace of salvation is particularly manifested in infant baptism. The church and the parents would deny a child the priceless grace of becoming a child of God were they not to confer baptism shortly after birth. The practice of infant baptism is an immoral tradition of the church. There is explicit testimony to this practice from the second century on. That's what they're saying. It's their tradition. So they consider it true. Bible says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and the traditions of men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Jesus was baptized when he was an adult. When he was baptized, he was not sprinkled. He came up straightway out of the water. Bible says in Acts 8, they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Bible says in Acts 2, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now listen to this. You think babies was in that? But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You can be baptized, baptism won't do you any good if you haven't believed first. And a baby can't believe. Impossibility. I hope you walk away from here tonight with a whole new look. I hope you understand just a little better why when someone says something about the Catholic Church, they're just not being unkind. This is what they believe. Now, do you believe what they believe? Do you believe they can get to heaven believing that? Now, I hope the next time you run onto a Catholic, you'll begin to pray and say, Lord, more than likely, this person needs to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because they've been duped. They've been duped. They've been deceived. Amen? And you know what we're doing today? The Protestants, many of the Protestants, I don't consider myself a Protestant, I'm a Baptist, independent Baptist. But many of the Protestants are just joining with them. As though it was all right, the Pope's all right, the whole system's all right. It is not all right. It's out of the pit of hell. And that's why I believe it's the mother harlot that will be leading the way. Yes, I've told you before, I believe it's going to include all false religions because the true church is going to be gone this time. We're going to be gone. But the old false religions are all going to join together, and they're going to be the headship of that is going to be the Catholic Church, the system of the Catholic Church. Amen. So I hope that'll help you. You take it and you do with it as you will and see if that maybe won't change you a little bit in your beliefs. Heavenly Father, again, thanking you for your goodness and kindness and the wonderful grace of God and the wonderful Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, for it is the full and final authority. It's absolute of our life. Help us, Lord, as we study your word to understand it and know it. If there's any mistake, Lord, it's not yours, it's ours. So you help us, and Lord, to just know your word, and we'll thank you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.